Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
I think it was only memoranda and email which were official communication.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Mm-hmm. And now you find that corporates are now adopting less informal, less previously informal channels as part of
Yes, because if you don't, you lose them.
Yeah.
They are not used to the emails.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fast for them.
The memos.
When I can quickly send a WhatsApp and use all those emojis, so we'll come onto the language.
Interesting conversation.
So different work ethics. And what is considered loyalty, or what is considered, this is what is respected or expected of us in the workplace.
Right.
So you can see the tension between a manager and a subordinate.
Mm-hmm.
What you define as work ethics is not what I define as work ethics.
A case in point, for example, would be what happened with the work arrangements, let's even use Ghana, during COVID, where there was a lot of work from home.
Yeah.
And that conversation, I think it divided opinion. Because
while
some companies easily transitioned to working from home, others insisted, if you're home, I don't know if you're working.
Yes.
And then the conversation was, how you know I'm working is if you're tracking what I'm doing. Mm. And I don't have to be in your physical space for you to track it.
Exactly.
So, like you see, the conversation has evolved.
It has evolved. So we also need to, as leaders, we need to evolve. Now the communication and the language. And I'm laughing because, you see, as a linguist, I mean, then could you send a message to your mom and say, hey, mom?
No.
But these younger folks are saying, hey, send a message and end with WTG.
Mm-hmm.
So all these abbreviations and emojis, it wasn't in the language then.
They send a message to a female and say, bro.
Because bro has become gender neutral, quote unquote.
Exactly.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, they would rather call you or send you a text than send you an official email.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be read as a sign of disrespect.
In most cases, I think it has been misinterpreted as a sign of disrespect and seriousness.
Yes, and unseriousness. So they are sending a formal email and they are using casual or colloquial language that shouldn't be used in emails.
Indeed.
You see, and all these terms, and so we can misread or misinterpret the messages they are sending across.
Mm.
And likewise, we can come across as too strict and too serious for them. You see, so the language and the communication. And we'll go into the studies that show that miscommunication costs companies billions in revenue. Now let's look at their leadership preferences. So definitely the baby bloomers and Generation X will prefer leadership where there's the leader is direct and has a lot of control, you know, almost like top-down approach. Mm-hmm. Tell them what to do, and they do it. The younger folks prefer autonomy. So they will say you are micromanaging them. Mm-hmm. If all you are asking all the time, what are you doing? What's the next step? Mm-hmm. Give me some room. They crave room. You know, they expect that they can contribute to the world. So they want their voices to be heard.
Yeah.
We grew up in a culture of silence as a sign of respect.
Yeah.
When your boss or an elderly person is speaking, you don't speak back. Yeah. So if you have a younger person who wants to contribute, you can misread it as they are being disrespectful. Who dare you that as a boss I'm speaking and you also want to speak or you have an opinion to share?
Yeah. And I think one of the expressions that was a bit of a challenge for the older generation was a question, why?
Why? And even the 3-year-olds and the 1-year-olds, they ask why more than any group.
Yeah. Why? I need you guys to come early for the next 5 days. Why?
Why?
Because we need to get some work done. Why?
Like,
the why can go on for. And at some point, the older generation gets upset.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I know there's a balance there.
Legitimately so.
Yeah.
Because we didn't grow up having the opportunity to ask why.
Mm.
We just did as we were told.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a military, obey before complain.
Indeed.
But that style of leadership,
it's changing. It's changing. And that's what makes it difficult for us to also adapt, isn't it? Because we're from different orientations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Different orientations.
Yeah, yeah. So we, yeah. Then when it comes to technology,
mm-hmm.
oh, they are fast.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, look at all these AI tools that have been developed and all these. Who are the ones who are developing them? So it's easy for them to adapt to technology. It takes us time. So the workplace will see us as, oh, we are not fast enough. We don't want to catch up. We are used to the old ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because we were not brought up in a system that wasn't the normal. So there's, the new norm has been that we should be able to quickly adapt to technology. All organizations are introducing AI in some form or shape.
Exactly. And I mean, I think that before even organizations started doing it, we always would throw the thing about risk and security at it.
Mm-hmm.
And say, oh, no, it's not secure. We'll start trying to test it and all that. But
The
beauty about evolution is that it doesn't wait for you.
It doesn't wait for you. So you see, instead of complaining that, complaining that, oh, security, think about what measures can we put in place so that we can safeguard what we consider as confidential. Most of the time it's about confidential information.
Indeed.
What can we do? What are the right skills that we can give our people so they can upskill?
Indeed.
One of the problems that leaders have is they expect their people to adapt
mm-hmm.
without showing them the how, equipping them with the skills.
Yes.
So if you are expecting the younger folks mm-hmm. to be more resilient or know how to communicate in the workplace, complaining will not cut it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so that's when we have to come in with the interventions to support them. Now let's talk about emotional regulation and social skills. We were saying that we are more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
You see, these people have, because they prefer phone, they are not very good at one-on-one interactions. Social media has also almost it's provided them with a safety net. So they are happy to chat with you behind a device,
mm-hmm.
but one-on-one. So there's no opportunity for them to develop these social skills.
Yeah. But that's not really good. Then.
That's not really good.
Yeah.
So we have to help them.
Mm.
We have to, because all these human beings, essentially, we are human and we want to connect.
Exactly.
And so that's why developing
the
social skills is very helpful.
Exactly. I mean, I've had this conversation in other fora, and they'll tell you that, oh, yeah, but they're connecting with 10,000 other people. And I'm like, but they're not in the room. They are here virtually, but they're not physically in the room. And that's why they can't hold physical conversations.
So it's connecting, but it's not real connection. Yeah. It's not real connection. We can hold space for our emotions,
mm-hmm.
and we can understand, give people space as well. But these younger folks, sadly, now, when it comes to career expectations, these ones expect that in the next 3-5 years, I should be able to climb. So we say that they have a sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
They expect more.
Mm-hmm.
They expect that they are trained, upskilling. So there's a lot of research to show that when they are looking for jobs, those are the things that they are looking out for. An organization where there's opportunity to be trained, to upskill, to climb the ladder quickly.
Faster.
Do you blame them? In this day of microwave, everything needs to be fast. But we understand that it takes time to climb the corporate ladder.
I suppose that it's an interesting dichotomy and interesting balance, because evolution is also doing its work real fast. I mean, back in the day, we'll say you don't put a pilot in a plane and put passengers in it unless they've gone through thorough, tried and tested, almost foolproof training. But these days, airplanes are landing themselves. And so while we're saying, wait the time and become well-cooked, technology is saying, I think they can do it faster. I think what they're saying is right. So we'll help them to do it faster.
Yes.
So it's an interesting balance across the board.
Yes. And so that's what we even have to look at, how we are training and upskilling them for the workplace. If we are still using the old methods, it won't work. Now, the final one is their values and their culture. So these, like I said, they prefer an environment where they can contribute. Inclusivity, equity, justice. Those words have always existed, but how many times did we hear them when we were growing up?
Ah, no.
And it's being thrown...
I mean, I didn't want to go into it now. You finish your slides.
You see, so there are thousands and one YouTube videos, things to educate them, so they are more open-minded and they expect more from the workplace. You see? Yeah, so those are the areas of tension.
Right.
That can come about... based on the differences
the
of...
The differences across.
The differences of orientation, differences of ways of being.
And in every workplace, you probably have a mixture of all these four categories of people within the space.
Yes. Right. I think it would be easy if we had just Gen Zs. They understand each other. They speak their language.
And they can just handle their stuff.
But all the various age brackets and groups are speaking different languages.
Indeed. I mean, I've always said that people are a function of their orientation, so they are speaking to their orientation.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's how come the Tower of Babel image, because once we are speaking different languages, the thing comes to a halt.
Yeah, there's no progress.
Yeah. And that's what we want to avoid and handle effectively.
You were talking about some levels of attrition and turnover based
Yes. So now let's look at what's the cost, the business implication for this. If this is not handled the way it has to be.
What are the fallouts?
So we tend to lose people. People don't stay. Now let's look at some numbers. So this is by the Institute of Human Resource. And it says that replacing an employee costs 2 times that person's annual salary to replace. And
with
so it's expensive.
With a new one who's coming in.
So it's expensive.
Of course.
So let's look at the Ghana case where we say that maybe the average professional salary, maybe manager level, is maybe 60,000 a year.
That's about 5,000 a month.
So if you are replacing, it means that we are spending almost between 90,000 to 120,000 to replace one staff that we've lost. So that's how come we need to pay attention to this.
It always comes back to cost.
It comes back to cost. You know, and so again, so the high turnover signals a poor culture and weak leadership alignment.
Right.
We always have a problem. Oh, they don't stay for long. They are not loyal. It's not that they are not loyal. But we haven't designed the workplace to support them enough.
Their expectations are different.
They're on a different highway. So they would come in quickly and go quickly if you don't meet their expectations. Now, let's look at disengagement and low productivity. Now, a study by Gallup says that 85% of employees globally are disengaged.
So 85%?
Yes.
That's a high number.
Very high number. Scary.
Wow.
So they come to work and they're just doing their work.
They're just there.
They're just getting along. But we are not really getting them involved. We are not getting their buy-ins. They are not contributing meaningfully. Now look at this. Disengaged staff costs 34% of salary. It means that 35% of their salary is lost in productivity.
which means that they're not earning all of their salary. They're just doing half the work.
They are doing half of the work and they are being paid in full.
Of course. Of course.
So for, again, the Ghana case, average salary, let's use average salary of mid-manager, 60,000. So that we mean, what we, it means that we are losing 20% or 20,000 per disengaged employee.
And these are numbers that we don't take our time to look at. Otherwise, if we see that we're losing money in productivity, we'll pay a bit more attention.
We'll pay a bit more attention.
Very interesting conversation. I want our listeners to be a part of it. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get interactive.
Your favorite on-air business development program, Joy Business Masterclass, is in session. And you can interact with us on Facebook via the Joy 99.7 FM or Joy Business pages. If you tweet, the handle is at Joy997FM or at Joy Business GH. Don't forget to hashtag JB Masterclass. You can also call us on 0302-216541 or send your questions and contributions through to the WhatsApp number 0551-111997 and our facilitators will address your concerns. Attention everyone, class is in progress.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, this is Masterclass. We're here in the studio today with Dr. Mame Ifua Nikaps. She's a leadership and communication strategist, and she's here talking to us about bridging the generational divide. Have you heard those terms, Gen Zs, Gen Alphas, Generation X, Baby Boomers? Yes, we're talking about all of those people in your workplace and how you can manage them, and how, if you don't manage them well, it will cost you in terms of money at the end of the day and bottom line. Pick up that phone, give us a call. We're interactive right now. Numbers to call 0302-216-541 or send us your comments on 0551111997. That's 0302-216-541 or send us your comments on 0551111997. All of those arguments that you have, all of those trainings you scheduled as a result of training needs analysis, maybe it's because you don't understand the various needs of the groupings of different people within your team, within your company. Let's have a conversation about it. Let's learn from each other. Pick up that phone, give us a call, 0302-216-541. I think the mention of Gen Zs alone should get you to be excited about this conversation, because it's a big thing now these days. Do you have any Gen Zs in your company? Are they working? Are they loyal? Are they not loyal? Let's help each other understand why they do things the way they do them. 0302-216-541. Send us your comments on 0551111997. Just also remind us that today's edition of Masterclass is brought to us by Goyle. Goyle, good energy, Goyle. Yenara, Yedia. If you have any motor vehicle of any kind, then Goyle has some great news for you. Good energy brings you Goyle Super XP, the ideal choice for most vehicles. It is flowing wah-wah at many Goyle stations in the country. So just go fuel up your vehicle and enjoy the smooth ride with all the benefits. Goyle Super XP is quality and it gives you the correct choice when buying regular fuel. Goyle, good energy, Goyle. Yenara. Yeah, their phone lines are still open. Numbers to call 0302-216-541. Or you can send us your comments on 0551111997. We'll continue to share some additional thoughts till your phone lines start ringing, and then we'll try and answer your questions. But otherwise, please keep listening. So maybe let's just keep sharing until...
Yes. So this one, miscommunication and errors. As a result, what's the cost associated with miscommunications and errors?
Right.
Now, there's a study by Grammarly and Harris, and it says that miscommunication costs U.S. businesses $1.2 trillion yearly.
Ooh. And that's money that could have gone to positive use, actually.
Yes, but it's just gone down the line because of miscommunication. And it says so, and there's this research also that says that project failures and delays are often traced to poor cross-generational communication. And the communication is poor because we speak differently, they speak differently. So we are not speaking the same language. There is lack of understanding. And that spills into errors.
Of course.
Missed opportunities.
Misinterpretations.
Misinterpretations. And all these ramifications that we don't want. Now, let's look at the cost. So, misunderstanding costs, let's say, let's again, the Ghanaian average, let's use the Ghanaian example. Let's say if we are paying, again, our 60,000, what it means is that we are losing 15,000 Ghana cedis per employee in wasted time.
Every year.
Every year.
Because they didn't understand the instructions.
They didn't understand the instructions.
And that's probably because they also have everyone has a filter through which they interpret what you tell them.
All of us.
Yeah.
That's just human. So what it means is that, I think I heard you quote it the last time, that we don't communicate until the message we intend to give is received the way we intended.
Right, it was in the communication class.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the biggest illusions of communication is that it has taken place.
When it actually hasn't taken place. So we've just spoken, we've given feedback, we've shared information, but we've not communicated.
Yeah.
And that's a huge difference.
Yeah. I told you, Mekai Wante.
You see, and the problem with communication, I say, is that communication is not just speaking. There's a listening aspect of communication as well.
And I think that people don't feel responsible for the second part of the, or should I say the second leg of the process. I speak, you understand. We say, understanding is you, but it's, I have to make sure that you understand what I said.
Yes, yes.
The way I meant it.
Yes. And one of the ways you can do that, if you're on the receiving end, is to listen and respond thoughtfully based on what you hear, but not based on what you have already pre-programmed to say to the person.
And we do that a lot.
We do that a lot. Because once the person starts speaking, I know what it is that they want, and we preempt. So no listening has taken place. Until we listen to respond thoughtfully, we are fully present, we are engaged.
So I come to you and I say, Mommy, there's going to be a meeting on the fourth floor. The head of marketing is meeting all heads of departments on the fourth floor at 2 p.m. Then you say, noted. Then I run off and I tell everybody, she says she'll be there. She didn't say she'll be there.
No, you didn't ask. You didn't tell me. You were only informing me that there was a meeting.
She didn't say she'll be there. She
said noted. Yeah. Noted, yes.
Maybe there are reasons why she cannot be there.
Yes.
And we all do that.
We all do that. So you could easily ask, are you going, do you have time to join us? Or would love you to join us? Then he or she can tell you, I have this already, I've pre-booked engagement, so I can't join in at this time. Then we have an understanding.
Clarity.
That's one of the pillars of communication. Are we clear? You know, and so leaders tend to underestimate the cost of small language and cultural gaps. And because your language is not a tangible thing. And so it's easy for us not to pay too much attention to it. Now, here's the thing. When you're communicating, research shows that only 7% of your words counts. 35% is how you're saying it.
Right.
And the other is your physiology. So even in a face-to-face interaction, we are so fixated on what we want to say, but we don't pay too much attention on how we are saying it. So our tone of voice, how we are pausing and giving the other person the chance to assimilate what it is that we are telling them. How we are receiving feedback.
Indeed. I mean, as you said, I was having a chat with Sarah just before we came on. And inflections are a part of the process that you can't fake. And that's where the physiology and the body language comes
in. Yes, yes.
So you find this meme on social media.
Yeah.
Sit.
Yeah.
Sit.
Yeah.
Sit. It's the same word, different inflections. And it means different things.
It means different things. Yeah. You see, your tone, your body language. So you can't be asking someone, I hope you're having a good day, and have a stern face.
I hope you're having a good day.
Our body language says a lot.
The water chokes you.
Yeah. So show it. Whatever it is you want to communicate, show it. You are delivering a presentation or having a conversation, your arms are crossed. You're sending a certain signal across.
Yeah.
Your voice are saying something else, but the person will pick up more on your physiology and how you're communicating than the words that you are spilling across.
Indeed. Someone said, your actions are speaking so loudly.
Yes.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Exactly. Actions, they say, speak louder than words. So that's another area that we need. So these little small things that we tend to gloss over, they compound and they cost us a lot.
And for the Gen Zs and Alphas, their reception of this kind of non-verbal communication is heightened, is what
we're
saying.
Yes. Now let's look at lost innovation and collaboration. We cannot innovate as an organization when we are not getting everybody's buying. You see, so if you want to innovate and stay competitive, then we need to, and this is one of the problems that comes across when we have different, all these different age brackets.
Yeah.
So the generational divide, it creates a block of knowledge transfer and creative collaboration. So you would see that on a project, let's even say on a project, let's look at the project team. How is it constituted? We need a mixture of all the, so that different ways of doing things, different thoughts, diversity and of energies, thoughts and perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually a situation where an organization had a project and they brought together the various, because the norm is, oh, let's put, oh, this is a senior project, this is a technical, let's put the experienced guys.
These are numbers, finance. Let's put the hardcore people who don't smile.
Let's put the senior guys on the project. You see, and it's the same way of thinking, because they belong to that same bracket, same way of viewing the world. But if we allow differences, we have a good mixture, then we can have different ways of doing things. We can innovate quickly, and that collaboration will unlock so many opportunities for us. So our inability to collaborate and innovate leads to missed opportunities and slower competitiveness in the market. Now, every percentage drop innovation means that revenue decline and market share loss.
Naturally. Yeah. It goes to bottom line.
So we should be paying attention to this. Now, this one that I love, employee well-being and burnout. The younger folks are demanding mental health and work-life balance. And we feel that they have a sense of entitlement.
They're like, yeah, mental health.
Where from all this mental health noise that you're making? We never talked about mental health, and we survived. We survived, so we expect them to survive.
We didn't turn out too badly.
At all. We did very well. You know, this is how things are done. This is how we've worked all our life. Who are you to tell us how to do things differently? But these younger folks are exposed. That internet is at their fingertips. The world is open up. They see. So these are things they demand. Now, if we don't provide that, it affects their well-being. They are stressed, leads to burnout, goes back and feeds into the productivity.
And it goes down.
It goes down. Now,
go ahead.
Unaddressed burnout drives absence. They don't show up in the workplace. Medical costs. So if you want to save money,
absenteeism.
It costs 8,000 per employee yearly in Ghana. Not showing up.
I think it's even a conservative amount.
Yes.
People just don't show up for work. They are not well.
They're not well.
Just go for an excuse duty and they won't show up.
Yes. And many of those I'm not well is stress from these generational tensions in the workplace, built up over time, showing up in the body as an illness.
Wow, this conversation is rather more serious than
it is
than we make it out.
Yes, it is serious. We need to pay attention to it. Now let's look at the final one I want to touch on: employer brand and talent attraction. I said to you, the Gen Zs and the Alphas, when they are considering organizations to work for, they go online and search. What are your employees saying about you? So if you want to be able to attract top talent, then we need to create workplaces that is welcoming. Because the way they'll take their phone and say something positive about you is the same way they'll take their phone and say something negative about you if you give them cause to.
There was a story I read about, I'll be very generic because it has to do with specific brands, some very big corporate brands. So a Gen Z sat in an airport lounge and was unhappy about treatment from an airline and had spoken to the counter severally and they wouldn't budge.
Yeah.
Typical Gen X baby boomer attitude.
Yeah.
So they just picked their phone and went online.
Yeah.
Well, long story short, not only did they receive a huge payout, they got bumped up to business class.
You see?
And they flew for free.
You see?
Because the money the company was going to lose.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so it's the same thing. Yeah. Brand, employer, is something we need to be paying attention to. So they will judge employers on work culture, flexibility, and inclusiveness. So workplaces that are toxic, they struggle to attract high talent. I mean, I wouldn't want to work in a place that's toxic.
Yeah.
So if you want top talent, make it a priority.
And their tolerance for this kind of toxicity is very low.
Very, very low.
Yeah.
So the cost of a weak employer brand, that means that it's 50% higher per high if you have a weak employer brand.
Wow. I mean, I'm excited that we're coming back next week. I've just been signaled that my time is running out. So let's sort of summarize our conversation today. I'm sure that our listeners will want to be a part of the conversation probably next week when we come, because they were sort of getting in tune with the conversation today. But if we remember nothing from our conversation today, what are some of the summary takeouts? Maybe just you can touch on a couple of points and then maybe about 30 seconds, 40 seconds.
Well, I'll say in one line, this generational tension is not a side issue. It's a bottom line issue. And it's a leadership imperative to act on now. And we're going to go next week, we'll go into the framework to handle that. But I think the bottom line is, how do we move from this tension to teamwork? We are human beings.
Right.
Let's connect. Let's ride on our shared humanity than our differences. Let's be empathetic. Let's make room for each other. Let's be curious. Yes. You know, let's connect. Let's communicate. John Maxwell has a book that says, everyone communicates, few connect.
That's an interesting statement. Everyone communicates.
But few connect.
But few connect, right.
So let's make the effort. And let's look at the advantages that come with this rather than the difficulties. Because what you focus on multiplies.
What you focus on multiplies. I think I like that. We'll end on that note. This has been Dr. Mami Ifua Nikau's Leadership and Communicating Strategist, sharing some very wonderful thoughts with us, starting or laying the foundation for a conversation that hopefully we're going to have over the next 3 weeks. It's about bridging the generational divide, how the Gen Zs, Gen Alphas, and the old workforce within your company must be managed so that we get better value out of them. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Masterclass. See you same time next week.